There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. Well, this is a story in the Old Testament, not of an accident. Everybody's been walking in the garden or out in the yard or in the woods and seen something slithering through the leaves, through the underbrush. You realize, oh, there's a snake. I remember when I was young and very, very foolish, a sudden encounter with a rattlesnake, and stupid enough to have been where they probably would have been hanging out. Well, what happens when it isn't an accident? When the snakes, the venomous snakes, every bit as venomous and deadly, if not more so, than any old Texas rattlesnake, are sent from God. In the case of God's people, there in Numbers chapter 21, it is God who sends the fiery serpents to his people. Why does he send them? And then what solution does he give his people out of his mercy when they cry out for help? We're going to be talking about the bronze serpent in Numbers chapter 21 on this Monday afternoon, November the 23rd. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on that very passage there, the bronze serpent. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much.
So have you recovered from being a late night guest on Issues Etc. 24?
Well, if I had had 3 to 6, I would have, but I just went to bed at my regular time.
Okay, so we just fit right into your night owl schedule there.
Yeah, you did really well.
By the way, anybody who wants to can listen to Pastor Tom Baker and all the guests who appeared on Issues Etc. 24. It is all there for your listening pleasure at issuesetc.org. All 24 hours of Issues Etc. 24. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scroll down a little bit. You will see all those hours of Issues Etc. 24, including Pastor Tom Baker. Tom, this is a tough one because this is one of those clear examples. God sends manna. He sends quail. He sends water out of a rock. He does all sorts of things. This time, God sends serpents to kill his people. Why does he do that?
The passage is pretty clear in the Bible that God wants to bring people to a proper understanding of himself, and therefore, do not be afraid when he brings discipline. Now, the idea of discipline means that we do still receive the consequences of our temporal sins. And this is discipline. He sends them among the people, and why? Verse 5 is pretty clear. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food, which, of course, was the manna. And therefore, when your children are growing up, at least when mine were, by about 2, 3, 4 years old, they get pretty independent. And a lot of times, they'd rather not have you around until they're running around, they fall down, and they scuff their knee or they hurt their leg. And then right away, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. And it's a very common understanding on the part of the Lord that he allows what we would consider be consequences of our sins to come around us in order that we might truly repent. And we find that in verse 7. We have sinned, the people say to Moses, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. And so they ask him to pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents.
So this is a way that God moves his people toward repentance.
Yes, yes. And proper repentance isn't just being sorry for your sins because you love God. In fact, you can't even love God until you become a believer. Proper repentance is being afraid of God because you know he holds all the cards, so to speak, and that apart from him, you're not going to continue to live. And so that's why the people asked Moses to pray to God. And how many times in our lives have we received something along this line in order to wake us up to the fact that we really need God's help?
So what had the people done here? What was their sin?
Well, the main problem is that they began murmuring, and they were impatient. It says in verse 4, the people became impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses. Remember, every sin is a breaking of what commandment? It's always a breaking of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So, this incident with the bronze serpent is another example that what God is really opposed to is not just their disobedience, but as you can see very clearly, their lack of faith. That was the real problem that we're finding here in Numbers 21, 4-9.
So they're grumbling against God. They speak against the Lord. That's really, and this is something that they've done repeatedly and will do again and again. It doesn't seem like that big of a thing. I mean, people out there speak against God. They ignore God. They deny God's existence. They live relatively happy lives. It's not like they go home to a nest of vipers there. Why is God so concerned about this people and their grumbling against him?
Because it is through this people that the promise of the Messiah is going to come. The whole thing really evolved because Edom did not give permission for them to go through their land, and so they had to go a different or a long route. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we find that it was God himself who said that Edom was the land of Esau's descendants, and therefore Israel and the people of Edom are brothers, so Israel needs to respect the people of Edom. Therefore, it was really a remembrance of Sarah and Abraham and the promise to them about through Isaac all the nations would be blessed, why God said they could not go through Edom, and that's why they became impatient. In fact, both the NAS, New American Standard, and the NIV, New International Version, they both use the term impatient, that the people had to travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. So even though it was God who was really behind this, they became impatient with God. Well, how many times do our Sunday school children become impatient with God? So that a lot of times this is going to be a great event that took place to show that a lot of times we're not any different than the people of Israel because we want to have our way and God often has his way.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we'll spend some more time with him in Numbers chapter 21, looking at the story of the bronze serpent. And then, of course, Jesus references this very account in John chapter 3. That's probably where we'll end up with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. there is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues, Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues take them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the bronze serpent in Numbers chapter 21. So these serpents are sent by God among the people, and it says they were biting the people, and the people were actually dying here. Now, death here is a pretty permanent punishment, if you ask me, Tom. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's permanent, but it doesn't mean it's eternal damnation. For example, I'll give you another time in the Bible when we know that Christians were dying as a consequence of their sin. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11 when we're talking about the Lord's Supper. And there we find that those who take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and that means they don't understand it's the body and blood of Jesus. They're also, some of them were getting drunk. It says that the consequence is that some of them get ill and some of them even fall asleep. Now, unless this is the only time in the Bible where fall asleep refers to unbelievers, every other time it refers to a Christian who dies. In fact, we see that on tombstones, asleep in Jesus. So there is no guarantee that because of the consequences of our sin here on earth, that we will definitely never die. No, we may die of them. People who are alcoholics and they go driving may crash into somebody else and they kill themselves. They crash into a pole or something or an abutment. Well, guess what? They still may go to heaven. So this consequence of sin is something that may or may not have happened. Some may have died in unbelief and others not. We know that there were at least three sins. The first one mentioned is impatience. The second is arrogance. Right before this chapter, Todd, or these verses, I should say, as I said, God had delivered the Canaanites into the hands of his chosen people. And so they were of the nature, boy, if we can do this, we can do anything we want. We can go through Edom. And so that showed arrogance. And then the final sin that was shown was their ungratefulness. 21 verse 5 is very clear. We loathe this worthless food. That means they detest it. They abhor it. Now, they weren't feeling that way when it first appeared to them as manna. But you see, the real problem here is not that they just despise the food. They are also speaking against God, because he's the one that brought them into this wilderness to eat this, what they now consider to be worthless food.
I noticed that their prayer is, through Moses, that the Lord would take the fiery serpents away. But he doesn't do that, does he?
No. He does not take the fiery serpents away. And he has another way of salvation. In fact, after the fiery serpent, the bronze serpent, is put on a pole, people continue to be bit. So even though God is merciful to them, he's not merciful in the sense of taking the serpents away. He's merciful in the sense that whoever would look to the serpent would be healed and live.
Now, I think what we imagine here is that there's some super, super tall pole that's set up in the middle of this enormous camp of people with a fiery serpent on it that that people can kind of see from a mile off or something. So, oh, I'm walking down the street. There's a serpent. He bites me. I just glance over and I go my merry way. But I think it's far more likely, especially since there are no super long poles available in the middle of this kind of wilderness, that this is something that may have been carried around. I mean, I can imagine a constant call for the serpent to be brought to people's houses when someone is bit by one of these fiery serpents. It's a good picture of kind of maybe even evangelism.
Yes. The other thing is, if there were over a million people, I can't imagine where the pole, no matter how tall it was, would be set up where a million people could see it, so that those who were bit had to struggle to get to see it. Now, somebody comes up to you and says, well, Moses has set up a bronze serpent. If you see it, then you won't, you know, have the effects of that having been bitten. That took faith to believe that. I mean, that's ridiculous, especially when they recognize that the previous animal that had been put together, namely the golden calf, didn't save anybody. But now this bronze serpent, and particularly, this is really quite amazing, that it's a serpent that is put on there. The very thing that is biting them. I mean, how ironic can you get that they are told that they have to go to see a serpent in order to be healed? Only the Holy Spirit could put that kind of faith in the heart of those who crawled or asked that the serpent be brought to them. Either way, it showed, therefore, once more, salvation, healing comes through faith, not by our works.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this before we take our next break, and that is the fact that Jesus himself makes reference to this and pretty much explains why this story is even in here, because it's really, what is it, five verses? In the midst of all these things, it's a detail, an important one, of course, but Jesus kind of gives us an indication of why this is included in the Old Testament. What does he say about that in John 3?
It is the gospel in a nutshell, and most people, they look to the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'll often ask them at a seminar, I said, who can remember what the verse before that is? And very few people do. And here are the two verses before what Jesus said as a gospel in a nutshell. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is really, really important, and I'll tell you how we often miss this. Can you imagine if Jesus had been put to death by hanging, that around our necks would be a rope or a gallows of some sort? But instead, he was crucified, so around our neck is a cross. And any time that the cross has a body on it, it's always the body of a man. But we know it could also be not only the body of a lamb. In Revelation 5, for example, Jesus returns to heaven, and this is apocalyptic language, that he appears as a slain lamb. But how many people ever imagine that he could be in the form of a snake on the cross? And Jesus is a snake. Now, wait a minute. But the devil is the one who is evil. How could Jesus be the devil? Well, take a look at 2 Corinthians, and there we get in verse 21, chapter 5. For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, what we want to get across to the children is, and this is how I would start a sermon, who do you think was the worst sinner in the world? And of course, most people are going to say Hitler or Judas or somebody like that. No, from God's point of view, the sinner above all other sinners was none other than Jesus himself. Yes, as a lamb, he could appear on the cross, but also as a serpent. And it was just as unbelievable for the Pharisees to look at this carpenter from Nazareth on the cross and come to the conclusion that they had their sins forgiven and righteousness was now theirs.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take another break when we come back, just about 10 minutes more with him teaching a Sunday school lesson on the bronze serpent, Numbers chapter 21. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Stay tuned.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of Law and Gospel. We're going through a Sunday school lesson on the bronze serpent in Numbers chapter 21. Now, before the break, you were talking about how Jesus uses this and how it's used elsewhere in Scripture. There is one other place that I wanted you to discuss, and that's 2 Kings 18, where we're told, just kind of out of the blue, when one of the reformer kings is going through and getting rid of all sorts of pagan places of sacrifice and pagan worship in the established nation of Israel, that one of the things he does is he takes this bronze serpent. I don't know where it's been up to this point, but he breaks it up into pieces because at that time the people were so deep into paganism, they were actually worshiping the thing by that time. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. You're talking about Hezekiah, right?
Yes.
Yes. What he does is when he takes the bronze serpent, the people begin to worship it. And I think that's the main meaning when we say in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before us. And then it's explained, thou shalt not have any graven image. Now, it is not wrong to have an image. The serpent was the image of Jesus, even at that time in the Old Testament. But it's another thing to worship the serpent on that bronze. Just like today, I once had a member, she wouldn't go on a plane unless she had her cross in her purse. And that showed me that she had more trust in this piece of metal than she would have had in the God who gave her a promise. And I think that's the same kind of picture you find here in 2 Kings, that the people are just really having a problem and wanting to worship that which had helped them out. We find this particularly in Roman Catholicism as they venerate certain things. Somebody once said, if you really took all the pieces of wood that some Roman Catholic officials say is part of the cross, you could build a house out of it. So we need to be very careful that our worship, even if we have an image in front of me, in front of us, is to God himself.
Now, with that said, I think the bronze serpent does illustrate something more general about one of your favorite subjects here, Tom, and that is when God attaches a promise to something, and he says, look at it, and you will live, then that is God's command to heed that promise. Now, he has not attached a promise to, say, a crucifix. A crucifix is simply a reminder. But when he does attach promises to physical things, like bread, wine, water, then Christians are not at liberty to say, I don't need that. I don't want that. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well said. We believe that the Holy Spirit moves into us by means of word and sacrament. Why? Because the word never returns empty, and the sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper is really critical here because they are a means by which God creates faith even in an infant, as we see from Acts chapter 2 at the end of the Pentecost sermon. And then they're also a means to keep us in the faith as an assurance that the benefits that we're looking for are coming. And that's why when we take a look at the three sins of the people here, the first is impatience. Well, all we need to do is look at Psalm 27, verse 14, where the Lord says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord." And by the way, that term wait can mean hope. Therefore, do we have a sure hope that God is going to take care of us? Yes. In the arrogance that we often have, take a look at Luke 18. That's the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The tax collector who beats his breast, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus says he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And for our ungratefulness, we really need to help the children look at the meaning of the Lord's Prayer in the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." We may not be getting bread the way we wish we would get it, but if God is supplying it, it is in his mind the best that he can do for us. So not only do we look at many Bible verses with promises to overcome our impatience, arrogance, and ungratefulness, but as you so well said, the benefits of holy baptism, and not for the children yet, but for adults, the Holy Eucharist and the absolution is as though God himself is saying those words to you personally.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist foretold. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly Sunday school lessons with Pastor Tom Baker, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Any size donation is deeply appreciated and needed. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With a little more than 5 weeks left in the year, we're approximately $100,000 short of projected expenses. That means we have $100,000 to go for this year. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2015. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Matthew's Gospel. We'll also have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller respond to an evangelical cliche tomorrow on Issues Etc. God made a promise. He had sent this punishment to his people, calling them to repentance. His call to repentance worked, and they repented. He gave them the promise. The promise is, look at this bronze serpent and you will live. Where God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. Where God attaches a promise, Christians should listen up. When God makes a promise, he always keeps it. And when he attaches it to things like the words of forgiveness your pastor speaks, the water that is poured over you in the name of the triune God, the bread and wine that is given to you with Christ's own promise, well, listen. Listen, because God is speaking. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California.
Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.